All right, you all, welcome back to the Love Hunter. And I'm looking for love in all the places, right? So it doesn't shock me when I hear stories, you know, like Usher and Keke Palmer, possibly dating. And then I come across, just over the last week and weekend, not just on the Breakfast Club, but actually another interview with Kerry Washington, just talking about, her parents loving on her and providing for her and sharing with her information that would change her life forever. And then digging into her mind and her mental health and her past and her excellence as an actress, So digging into that, let's talk about Usher. Let's talk about Keke Palmer. Let's talk about Kerry Washington. And then I want to close it up and talk about something near and dear to my heart also again, which is how we're treating these young people. Because it is my belief that these young people are going to repeat what we're doing, not what we're saying. And as we're now in the era of 50 years of hip hop, I had somebody explain to me, we made it cool. We made it marketable to drink and smoke and not care and defile our women and disrespect our women and sell drugs to these women. Well, those women had kids, and those kids are what we're seeing now today. So if we have anybody to blame for this trash era of rap that people call it, because I don't know. I just think music is music. People are people. I'm not going to label anybody trash, because I'm sure somebody could have labeled what I was listening to trash. I mean, going from Luther Vandross and Bobby Brown to Busta Rhymes, I'm sure that shook some people up. Or Kool and the Gang and Kool Moe Dee and KRS-One to Busta Rhymes. And, I get it. Rapper's Delight, was smooth and it always reflects a time. But my point being, I'm not going to call somebody else's music trash when I feel like we're kind of part of the blame. You know what I mean? Now, I didn't choose the words. I didn't choose the swag. I didn't choose the energy. But like, let's just be honest, though. Whose offspring is that? What were the two decades that came before this person, right? Before they made music? Was the music before that in any way leading to what this person is making now? I can ask that question because I was having a conversation with another fellow coach and another good friend of mine about why certain events, certain sports and certain focuses aren't, taken that serious anymore. And I'm talking about track and field. And we finally got down to it and we just realized there wasn't a lot of quality examples. There wasn't a lot of quality leadership for, kids to see. Who is the Michael Jordan of what you're trying to do? Because if you can't see it, it's not going to happen. I hate to say it that way. I'm a very, very visual learner. I'll stop traffic to get you to talk to me and make you show me visually how things should be. I'm a very visual learner. Who is the Michael Jordan of what you're trying to do? And when kids start to lose that and lose sight of that, why would they hold on to faith? Why would they hold on to trust? Why would they hold on to those things when something is constantly feeding their fear? And I actually had an analogy taught to me years ago where the question was, if you have two dogs, a black dog and a white dog, which one do you think is going to be stronger and faster? And I gave, the athletic response of, the one that's running faster and stronger right now. That may be fine and well, but it's the one that you feed the most. It is the dog that you feed the most. You're not going to get health from a starving animal. And you know, different was different from people. A lot of dogs and cats are actually pretty healthy. They're pretty athletic. That's why we use them as mascots and not what we like by the time we decide for our New Year's resolution and we need to get up off the couch. I've been there. You've been there. We've all been there. They are the mascot. The eagle that is searching and hunting for its prey is trying to feed their family. Feeding is how things grow. So when did we feed the quality to these trash rappers? When did we feed them quality? And the hard part is what's out there is not necessarily healthy. And that's a whole nother conversation because it's in our health. It's in our food too. It's in our fast food. It's in our microwave society. It's in our gimme gimme right now society. So my bottom line is it's not the kids' fault. It really is not the kids' fault. What kind of structure in society have we set up for them? We got a lot of punk blank parents. We got a lot of punk blank leaders. We got a lot of punk blank adults. You know, they didn't get loved and coddled the way they needed to at the time they needed to. And they're lashing out at people and they don't realize they're saying people need to toughen up and harden up when really the honest truth is they need to go the opposite way internally and maybe do some therapy. Life isn't about being a stone. I watched this movie Elemental and I was like, wow, like look at how well they represent everything. And they're showing this to my child. Like they're showing you how refined and unique each element is. We aren't just one. We're a mixture of all of that. We are fire. We are water. We are air. We are stone. We are earth. We are those things. So we should be as such. At no point do we ever choose to just be one thing, even though some circumstances might put us in a position where we might just be that. But let's get into it, y'all. I love Kerry Washington. I watched every episode of Scandal. I watched Save the Last Dance. You must be talking about Malcolm Reynolds or whatever Save the Last Dance, Sean Patrick Thomas, whatever his name was. Yeah, she was in that. She was in Save the Last Dance. She was the boy's brother. And I mean, countless other things. She's been in so many things. She was in Fantastic Four as the Thing, the Rock. His blind lover. And I remember in just before Scandal, like this is what messed me up. Just before Scandal, Kerry Washington was in this movie with Chris Rock called I Think I Love My Wife. And you know, Kerry Washington is a beautiful actor. She's a beautiful woman. And in that movie, the way she was looking, I was like, dude, they played this part up so well. And the way she was so thoughtful and provocative and was taking shots at Chris Rock. You know, you forget, like, these women are just as intelligent and many times more intelligent than us. I mean, they've got the game planned very well. They just don't have the war aspect like we do. And that's not a compliment. They don't have the war and violent aspect down like we do. Like I said, that's not a compliment. But the way she played that role and the way she played on his mind, even though you have beautiful Gina Torres as Chris Rock's wife. I was like, dude, this chick is amazing. But as an actress, established, great, amazing. Loves her cast, they're still best friends to this day, all that. What triggered me about the Kerry Washington interviews that I saw over the last, you know, couple days was really two things. And I spoke on this just as in the previous podcast. This woman is a dramatic hero. Like, she's one of those people we look to see the reflections of ourselves each week. And these actors and actresses are so much more than people that we pay to entertain us. They inspire us. And they get in our mental and make us think. Like, they really make us think on things. What was the lesson from this movie? Aside from the entertainment, what was the lesson from this movie? What was the Psalms and Proverbs of this movie, of this TV show, of what she was trying to show? So she's done a phenomenal, phenomenal job of that. But she was in a deep depression. You know, you get done with that work, with that job, and I don't think people understand. Once you turn your TV off from the last episode, when that actor or actress doesn't have something lined up, or they don't really believe in what the next product will be, there's a little bit of panic because the market is super saturated with actors and actresses. So much so that I believe she was going to that same place Michael Phelps went as he was at the twilight of his career. Now, Michael Phelps being probably the greatest swimmer we've ever seen, I will never be the type of, I just learned how to swim when I got married. That was 10, 12 years ago. I will never swim competitively, so I have all the respect for him. I'm a runner. Track and field is my thing. So that's what I do. That's what I love. That's what I coach. That's what I still do. But Michael Phelps went through a deep, dark depression because his identity was in that pool. His identity was swimming. His identity and the thing that drove him every day was swimming. What do you do when that's come to an end? Because your aging body will not tell the muscles and the tendons to do what it did so that we could be the competitive athlete on the Olympic level. It doesn't tell your body to do that all the time. It's just like inflammation or swelling or getting tired or fatigue. Your body tells you to do these things for your own safety. So when it tells you to start turning this thing down, you start turning it down. It's not the same with actors and actresses. You can act and be a Morgan Freeman or a Samuel L. Jackson, or I see Harrison Ford on a show on Netflix my wife is watching. You can be one of these older actors and actresses, but that doesn't mean you're not going to have a little bit of panic of, man, what's my next job going to be? And look at how high I was elevated. Like, I was on the cover of Entertainment Magazine, BET, Jet Magazine. I was on Essence Magazine. Like, I'm on the cover of all these magazines, Vanity, Vogue, all these, Cosmopolitan. You're on the cover of all these magazines only to be just brushed to the side for Viola Davis or Angela Bassett Taraji P. Henson, beautiful, beautiful actresses, all these beautiful women. But it's very competitive out there. The arts are sometimes more competitive than sport because it's lifelong. You're an artist lifelong. You don't like, I don't want to see Morgan Freeman play football. I don't want to see what's the Hannibal Lecter's name? Anthony Hopkins. Oh my God. I don't want to see Anthony Hopkins playing football from age 5 to 85. I don't want to see that. That's nasty. Like, why would you want people to get hurt that bad? But her story resonated with me deeply because she's trying to refresh one of the things that gives her meaning in life. And after Scandal, she went in a deep, dark hole and was even, you know, contemplating, you know, harming herself or leaving the plane of the living world, which is like the saddest thing in the world, because, you know, at that time when you're thinking like that, it's time to sit down and talk to somebody. It's time to make that phone call. And people have been graciously sharing on social media those numbers to call and who to talk to. And you can call and talk to those people. If you've ever had any friends or family that work with these call centers and work with these people, I mean, they're unsung heroes, and I'm happy that we have them. But the second part of Kerry Washington's story that really resonated with me was the fact that she got to find out that her father was not actually her father. that her mother and a sperm donor are how she got here. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, there are much worse things to find out, right? There are much worse things to find out about yourself. Finding out that you came from a loving family and your mother is your mother, but your father is a father in act, in action. Your father is your father in love. Your father is your father in behavior. Your father is a father in an example, but not DNA. There are much worse things, much worse things. But you got to understand, for somebody that's already dealing with some mental hangups and some mental struggles, this is kind of a huge bomb to be hit by. And I don't know at what age you're supposed to share this information with someone. And I think the reason why it came about, they were going to do some kind of DNA test or some kind of, like, you know, family tree work. And I think a lot of us have done it. If you've done like DNA or Ancestry or like 23andMe, they were going to do something to that effect. And they were like, ooh, since all three of us are about to do this, we probably should, you know, sit down and talk. And so they sat down and talked. And it was something that she spoke with Robin Roberts about. And I'm just like, dude, man, all the time she said, I love you, Dad. All those times she was saying that she loved her dad, she was really tripping. Because in her mind, she's like, was I just loving the idea of him being my biological father? Or was I really loving him? Was I tied to him and pulled to him because of this, that, and whatever? And then she had like a lot of anxiety problems growing up. She had a lot of issues growing up. And you don't know where those come from, you know? So it's like, when I look at my daughter now and I see her acting like me or shutting down like me or getting frustrated like me, at first, the 80s, 90s tactics come out and I'm like, oh, you know, at first, you know, you want to repeat what you saw, but then I sit and think, I'm like, ah, this girl's tired. She can't hear me right now. Her reasoning is trash. She's tired. You don't argue with drunks. I wouldn't argue with somebody that's high, because your left, right brain, the cognitive abilities are low. So like, you want to whoop this person with a belt and physically abuse them right now, or yell at them or berate them and trigger all the wrong things just because as a parent, you couldn't figure out a better way to parent through this. One time, I think it was crazy. My daughter was just like really just going through it, just blah, blah, blah. And I was like, honey, do you need a hug? And she shut down, came over to me and just gave me the biggest hug. And I made the joke, no, ain't nobody want to hug me in this house. But at that moment, she just needed some love. She felt like everybody was against her. And then there's times when we taught her space. She's like, I just need space. I know that because this is my child. I see her acting like me the way I act when I'm tired. So Carrie Washington realized maybe she wasn't going to have that with her father, but the things that came from her mother, yeah, we can work with that. So just listening to Carrie Washington this last couple days talk about her career, talk about her mental health, and talk about her DNA, it just made me want to speak on that. Because career-wise, she's amazing. She's awesome. She's had a great career, and I hope she has an even better career. And maybe she'll come over to Marvel, do some Marvel stuff. Again, you know. But aside from that, you know, the mental health piece, let's not play with this, you all. You know what health is, so you should know what mental health is. We don't all have the same bodies. There's families worried about heart problems. This family's worried about diabetes. This family's worried about cholesterol. This family's worried about colon, liver, lung. We're not all we're not all trying to fight the same fight in this body. We don't eat the same foods. We don't aspire to the same things. We don't even have the same pleasures. So when I say mental health, I think people need to stop equating it to, oh, that crazy. Oh, he crazy. We're all a little crazy. And we did this to each other. So there's going to be some things and some numbers that are off. You know, you're going to look at that clock and there's going to be a number missing. That's mental health. It's just like when people are walking or hurt or limping and or they go get surgery. Your brain is connected to all of that. Just so you know, your brain is connected to all of that. How you eat, your environment, your experiences, and what you do with your body today all affect your mental health. It's not all perfect. Like, and we lie and be like, yeah, everything's okay. I'm okay. Yeah, everything's good. And it's not good. If I lied to you and told you, yeah, I'm as strong as The Rock. Yeah, Dwayne, The Rock Johnson. Yeah, if you smell what The Rock is cooking. I'm just as strong as The Rock. Yeah, my physical body. Yeah, I'm just as strong. Yeah, we're fine. We're the same. We're not the same. We're never the same. We're never going to be the same. I would love to have The Rock's persona and praise and what is he like, 6'4" or something? I'd love to have that body, but I also need to take time to read my own manual and appreciate what I am. So yeah, moving on. Usher and Keke Palmer. I really don't have to say much on this because so much has been in the media already. I believe Keke and Usher are dating. She tried to deny it and act like, you know, that wasn't happening. And the whole time we've been seeing this play out on stage in front of us. She's supposed to be dating this guy and she's at the Usher concert getting all rubbed up on by Usher and his seductive moves. Because he's like, if you want to do a GOAT debate right now, you can throw R. Kelly in the trash because of what he did. And you can firmly just rise up on Usher and Chris Brown. And Usher said in his interview, he was like, people are worried about who's the king. I'm worried about the kingdom and making sure like everybody understands what R&B still is. So, you know, Usher came out in 96, y'all. Chris Brown came out in 2006. They're about a decade apart, but they're still going strong and they're phenomenal performers. The drama is there. Yes, the drama is there, but they're phenomenal performers. And having said that, still, I don't think it's a bad thing that Usher and Keke Palmer date. I don't think it's a bad thing that they're together. I just think that it was a little sloppy in the way they came together, which is a little sad. But the good part about that is love is not always neat and clean. People come together, they get together, and they may stay together for a long time. This could be a really good thing. You know, they may work together and love each other. And, you know, one has an album, one has a movie, then an album, then a movie. You know, you never know. They could slingshot from this moment and do some really good things. So, no, it's not always going to be pretty. And I think we need to understand they're celebrities, so their life is on full blast. What about you? What would your love life look like if people had it all the way out in TMZ and media and all that? So I'm a big Usher fan. I think I have all of his albums. I sing his songs, walk around the house cleaning and everything. Like, that's my dude, man. We're about the same age, I think. But yeah, I mean, I like that. I think it's cute. You know, dating in the celebrity world, I mean, it starts and ends in like 5 minutes, don't it? Like maybe 5 minutes and then you're done. If you're married and still in love with each other in the celebrity world, wow. It's like either y'all got it that good or y'all got some kind of like hall pass arrangement, you know, because I don't know if I trust it. You know, I don't know if I trust that, that they're just, you know, that good together. But I could be wrong. I'd love to be wrong about that. If they're really loving and faithful and taking care of each other, that's really all that matters. You know, if they're happy, really, regardless of what I said, if they're happy with one another and they are content with their marriage, their bond, and they promote each other, help each other, they have healthy lives, healthy bodies, healthy minds, that's all on them. You know, that's good. But yeah, Usher and Keke Palmer, that's probably a thing. they done rubbed up on each other too much, dancing on each other too much. That's probably a thing. They're grown, right? And I love seeing people find their way to each other. So if they're going to be together, they're going to be together. That's a beautiful little couple. I think they look good together. Now, as far as having kids and stuff, I believe Usher already has kids. I mean, I don't know. Is that public knowledge? I know he's been married. I know how that went down. That kind of flamed, you know, no pun intended, but that kind of flamed out. But I don't know. We'll see, y'all. We'll see. This could be the start of something beautiful. But we'll see. Tip my hat off to them. A good looking couple. Now, I wanted to close with this. Y'all, please be careful. We're talking about Kerry Washington, mental health, acting, and DNA. We're talking about Usher, Keke Palmer, and all these things. Remember how early I was talking about how everybody thinks this new generation of rappers is trash? Everybody's doing something for a reason. When people create bad habits or start doing things the wrong way, it's usually the lack of mentorship, the lack of supervision, or a complete lack of understanding. So mentorship, supervision, or understanding. And I gotta write that down. I like that. Mentorship, supervision, or understanding. That's my own personal note. So I was just kind of reading this in social media. Apparently this girl, little high school girl, was working as a barista, you know, over the weekend. And this grown man is like yelling at this girl. Hey, give me blah, 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 blah. And just yelling and being stank and nasty. And that's not just the coffee, y'all. That's not just the coffee. Well, a lot of people don't realize is we got to lead by example. Now, when this young lady gets a little bit older, she might detail and ID any man that looks like that and completely shut them out of her mind. She might become that man and drive that car, wear the same flannel or whatever he was wearing, or, you know, baseball cap, or, you know, whatever is going on, and repeat that same behavior. Now, just yelling at somebody doesn't mean that's going to get the right reaction out of them. Now, I'm not saying you have to be a psychologist. Sometimes it's just common sense. Why would you want to put that, you know, out in the world to be seen, heard, and replicated? Because people might repeat that. These kids deserve better. They deserve to learn from example. These old school values that everybody wants to, you know, hang on, you know, to so much. There's a lot of good old school values, a lot of great old school values. Only problem is a lot of people are packaging them and bagging them with a molded or musty compartment right next to it. So I'm not going to sit here and let you disrespect me and then try to tell me how to live. I'm not going to sit here and let you talk down to me and then tell me how to live, especially when you've lifed more than I have. So you should know this by now. You should know that people get offended. You should know that people have emotions. You should know that people have mind. So the fact that you're older and you understand life better, you should understand how the human being is put together a little bit better. We have to work together in this, you all. This is a working together thing. And when you drill down on a person into what they are and why they act the exact way they do. You can't just try to run, well, that's just how I was raised, or that's just this, or that's just that. No, that's not good enough. You are a combination of all of your life's experiences, your DNA, your environment, and your behavior. So all I'm saying is everybody's going to have a moment, right? Things aren't going well. Things aren't this, that, and the third. Well, how many of those have you been around? And in those moments, in the fatigue, are you acting up to the moment and showing quality? Or are you going down and showing us, man, you really don't handle these types of things well? Like you should be smarter and have the common sense to outperform this test, but you choose to underperform this test and give a negative behavior, a negative response, and show people how loud and mean you can be. That's not leading by example. That's just being loud and mean and judgmental. So please understand, these kids are watching us. They're listening to us. And I've seen this, and it is so scary. But when you give them quality, they'll take it and spread it to each other and teach it better than you can. It's crazy, y'all. Leave these teenagers alone, okay? If you're not going to give them quality and not going to give them understanding and connect with them, leave them alone. You're going to do so much damage. And then you're going to wonder, why doesn't anybody care about the elderly 20 years from now? Why doesn't anybody care about the elderly? Why doesn't anybody care about those that are retired? Why doesn't anybody care about this? Because we have a repeated behavior of acting nasty and mean when we get up the hill. So why should anybody care about us? And when people love and immortalize that loving grandma, that loving grandpa, I hate to say it, but it's few and far between. A lot of people, I had a kid say this to me one time. He was like, I just want to be a old, happy grandpa. I want to be loving and love my grandkids and all the things that they do and give them ice cream and all this. I'm like, why is he saying this? Because that's what he saw. That's what he experienced. The mentorship, the supervision, and the understanding. So maybe he had a grandfather, maybe he was a farmer, maybe he was a firefighter, maybe he was a police officer. What if he was a foreman at a construction, or maybe he was like the head of a janitorial team, or, you know, he was a principal or a teacher. You know, maybe he did trash and saw a bunch of, you know, amazing people on his route as a trash man. You know, you never know what these people were, what they did. Was he a Marine? Did he go to World War II? Was he in Korea? You never know. But this kid was like, I want to be what I've seen. I want to be what I've experienced. I want to be what I understand to be a grandfather. So please drop that mentorship, that supervision, that understanding the right way. Like, if you're not taking time to understand how people receive you and affect you, or how people receive you and how you affect them. What are we doing then? And that's why with Kerry Washington's story, it really, you know, it really warms my heart that they waited until she was older and maybe a little bit stronger and had the, you know, facilities around to, you know, talk about, you know, her mental health. Because she's a little older, a little stronger, right? And it's the same thing with Usher and Keke Palmer. There's going to be some kids that see that and want to do exactly what these two have done. You know, now they don't have the money or the praise that goes along with it. But we're going to be what we see. We repeat these things. And as adults, please don't play games and act like, oh, it's just the kids. We want to keep up with the Joneses. I saw they had a John Deere ride more, so I want a John Deere ride more. I saw they have a 3-car garage, so I want a 3-car garage. Well, they're head of PTA, so I need to be head of PTA in my neighborhood. Well, they got a Traeger, so I need a Traeger. Oh, look at those rims. I want those rims. Oh, I want those rims. We do it as adults all the time. And then we try to act like it's just the kids. No, it just comes up to a different level. All right, you all. So I love you all. Hope you love me back. I've been talking enough. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of The Love Hunter. Love being back. Love talking to you all. And yeah, I'll see you soon.